This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Former NFL player Thomas Q. Jones with us. Obviously, Tiki and Thomas go back to Virginia.
I didn't know you sung too, man.
Yeah, well, listen.
Great song.
No.
tell our audience what you just said off air.
Can you play the song real quick?
Yeah, let's get the – go ahead. Who's your quarterback at this point with Arizona? I'm trying to...
Jake Plummer.
Jake the Snake drops back. 3rd-and-3, a little draw to Thomas Jones up the middle. And he gets a first down.
And then this song plays.
They played this song in Arizona when you got a first down?
I couldn't believe it. I didn't realize it was for me until one of my friends, John St. Clair, we played the Rams, said, hey, he called me after the game.
John
and he said,
St. Clair,
hey,
another Wahoo, by the way.
Yeah, John St. Clair. He called me and said, man, that song they played for you was terrible. And I said, what are you talking about? He was like, you didn't hear the song they were playing after you every time you get the ball? And I was like, what? And he was like, Tom Jones, it's not unusual. and then that's when I was like, so that's why they're playing, because my name's Thomas Jones. And then it was that point that I knew I was probably going to get traded or released. I just knew it wasn't going to work out well.
The song is famous because of Carlton.
Yes.
Carlton,
yeah, absolutely. These guys will dance there. So the Cards to the Bucks to the Bears to the Jets. By the way, you did good work for my boys. Nicely done. We loved you with the Jets. And Kansas City. You played in some really unique markets, man. I'm going to put you on the spot, all right? And I think I know the answer, probably between Chicago and New York. Where'd you enjoy playing the most? Be honest.
Chicago and New York equally. Yeah. You can't say one city's better than the other one. You know,
I can't because I'm from New York.
I can't. I'm from Virginia.
You went to
so,
a Super Bowl, you know, with the Bears.
I mean, which is the other
parallel that Thomas and I have. We both went to one.
Both went to one Super Bowl. Yeah, both lost. I love playing in Chicago. I love playing in New York. The fans are incredible in both cities. I mean, there's just the love and support. I mean, they're football towns. There's no possible way I could pick one. My experiences were different with each. I think I was a different running back with each team. I think at the Bears, I really came into my own and realized, hey, you know, I can really do it at this level. And
it's where you had your first 1,000-yard season, for those who might not know.
And then with the Jets,
my
running backs coach, Jimmy Ray, I had a great running backs coach in Chicago too, Tim Spencer. But my running backs coach, Jimmy Ray, when I came to the Jets, actually taught me how to be a running back. Mm. He taught me how to run as a student of the game and not on instinct.
Took you that long to have a coach tell you that in the NFL?
Took that long, BT.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
What did they say? What didn't you guys know? What was pointed out that you didn't know?
For me, it was little things because I was strong, but I wasn't big. I wasn't big like Thomas, like muscular, where I could overpower somebody. So I had to learn how to take angles.
Okay.
Right? So if someone's coming to tackle me, recognize that they're going to contact me in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
Take an up shoulder angle, right? So they're getting me with one hand at best.
Okay, like a glancing blow.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I get one hand. I can run through one hand. I can't run through two.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I was younger, I always wanted to juke, right? I was like, I can make you miss,
mm-hmm.
which is stupid because as soon as you start slowing down to juke, someone else comes and drills you.
The game's that fast in the NFL.
Right.
You can't stop. And I mean, like I said, my running backs coach in Chicago was incredible. And I've learned so much from him, but I think Jimmy Ray taught me how to understand the blocking schemes. And I think because I was used to playing against a 4-3 defense my whole life for the most part, unless, you know, we played an AFC team randomly because I played for the Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Chicago, 4-3 teams mostly in our divisions. And I came to the AFC, which is mostly 3-4 defenses.
Yeah.
So in a 3-4 defense, you know, you have to understand the whether it's an over or under, you have to understand. There's just a lot more moving parts and as far as just pass protection and things of that nature. So because I had to learn more of the, you know, the basics as a pass protector, then I started to understand more of the blocking schemes from the linemen.
Yeah.
And I think that helped me anticipate what was going to happen. So now I'm not just reacting. I trust the blocking. And then once it happens, boom, I'm at the second level. Then I can react. You know, so it's that complex.
3-4s have a natural void Yes. It's just holes. Just natural. There's a natural holes.
Crack there.
But somebody, some bigger boys up there, though,
that's
right?
That's the problem, right? It's and it's also people filling those lanes. Thomas, yes. And we talked a little bit earlier about your acting as a – but these weren't your projects. You have your own project, which is interesting. It's coming out in late December and the 21st called A Violent Man.
Yes.
You executive produced this one. Mm-hmm. You didn't direct it, but you did just about everything else. You acted in it. But it's just a little bit deeper. It's darker. Right?
Yeah.
It tests your range.
Like yes.
Learning
yes.
to do that and drawing on experience, because you're an athlete. You're an MMA fighter in this one, and some of the great ones from yesteryear in UFC. Not UFC then, but MMA.
Chuck Liddell's in this one, right?
Chuck Liddell's USA nice. Wasn't around then, but you know what I mean, are in this. Tell us about that role, and more importantly, what that project means to you, because it's yours. It's like your baby.
Yeah, it is my baby. It's I was telling you guys earlier, that's the beautiful thing about being in Hollywood. Everyone's working and creating. And I played basketball at 24 Hour Fitness, and I met two guys in the gym. One was a writer, one was a producer. And they saw me Straight Outta Compton. They didn't know that I was acting. I played basketball with them for maybe a year. And they said, hey, you know, we didn't know you were an actor. We have a script that's great for you.
Everybody in Hollywood has a script.
Yeah, everybody has a script. Yep. That is one thing that's true. And I said, okay, cool. So I read it, and I was like, wow, this is a really dope script. And it would be a great opportunity for me as an actor to show my range, because when you're doing bit parts here and there, people try to like compartmentalize you and put you in a box as an actor and you get typecast. But this role had everything. It had everything, vulnerability, strength. It had everything that I needed to show. I was a real actor after all the work that I put in acting classes. So I said, okay, cool. And I came in and I executive produced it. So Matthew Berkowitz directed it, one of my best friends, one of my producing partners out in LA. He directed the film. He wrote it. Once I came in and I read it, then we tweaked some things to make it a little more honest in certain places. And we also added some honest racial subtext in it. You know, it's a very dark film, you know. We shot it in 2016. We did everything afterwards. We edited everything in 3 months. So I got like this crash course in producing, editing, everything at once. And then we finalized everything last summer. We sold it to Sony, to a division over there called Forgiven Films, run by Steve Belmont and Gino Taylor. And we recently got a release date of December 21st in a limited theatrical release.
Yeah. Red carpet time. Congrats, when are we going?
So it'll be in New York theaters.
I'll be there.
Theaters. And it'll be on VOD the same day, December the 21st, 22nd. And then it'll be on DVD January 22nd. So I'm excited about that.
You know, it's interesting. You bring up, you know, the racial subtext. I wonder if you I know you have, because I know your brain. You've been paying attention to the racial issues that the league is having as it pertains to the anthem protest. What's your take on that? Because athletes, we do have voices, right? And there is a extension of our brands that we're building on field that's important to society as a whole. Like sometimes you want to just put them in a box. Hey, this is just an entertainment vehicle for me, this athlete. But in actuality, it's deeper than that, especially with kids. What's your take on the league and how it's treated this issue over the last couple of years?
Well, I think the league is stuck between a rock and a hard place, because this is the first time something like this has really happened, that of my knowledge. You know, when we came out, you know, you were drafted in 97, and I was drafted in 2000. I mean, I don't even think we even came out for the national anthem. I think we were in the locker room.
No, we didn't. Playing.
You know, and then just as far as information, I mean, you know, there was no text messages. There was no Twitter, social media. Things didn't spread as fast. You know, you didn't have as much information as you do now. So I think, you know, being an athlete, people love to say, shut up and do that, shut up and do that, bat, dribble, run with the ball, catch a ball. Because they look at the money we make, and they think that the money should satisfy everything. And they forget that we're human beings just like them. You know, I have the utmost respect for anyone that can do something special, right? You know, I mean, I don't know if I could build a house. I don't know if I could build a plane. I don't know if I could do those things. I have the utmost respect for people who do those. I don't know if I could ever fly a plane. I have the utmost respect for a pilot. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you can't just tell somebody that they shouldn't have an opinion because they get paid millions of dollars to do something that you can't do. I also think, you know, we do use this as an opportunity to expand who we are and our brand. And, you know, and there's a lot of really positive opportunities that can come from football, because football is just one thing. Mm-hmm. Life is everything. And unfortunately, there are injustices that are going on in the country. And unfortunately, there are things that are happening that people are turning a blind eye to. And because the NFL is such a huge platform, certain people feel the need to speak on that, and I completely agree with them. You know, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of people are complaining about the protest, about the saying it's about the anthem when it's not about the anthem. It's about what's going on with police brutality. But a lot of the positive things, they have no, it's crickets.
Yeah.
You know, they're not giving as much praise for the positive things as they are negative for the things that they don't want to see. And I think if you're going to give one, then you need to be fair and give the other one as well.
Yeah. You know, at least be aware. People don't react to that, though.
At least be aware.
People react to the negative stuff. You know, you see all these charities, whether it's, you know, Cleats for a Cause, and you get a little pop on social media, and then that'll dry up quick. But it's the stories that, you know, you can just squeeze the life out of for weeks, whether it's sports shows or political shows and everything in between, that people gravitate to. And it's sadly, it's the good, positive stuff that gets pushed to the side.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And really marginalized.
It definitely gets marginalized. And, you know, and that's the thing. You know, I mean, football is football. You know, I know people, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because the NFL shield is red, white, and blue, and you have stars or whatever. You know, obviously we've seen the national anthem before the game or whatever. But they try to make it seem as if football is a political sport. It's not. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, separate from the military. Mm-hmm. The military is the military. You know, I mean, they protect and serve the country. And with honor and dignity, and we all have the utmost respect for them. Football is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's a corporation. So, you know, I think sometimes people get it confused because of the aesthetics that are around it. But in reality, they're two separate entities. So if, you know, Colin Kaepernick or a player is kneeling in protest, you know, he's in America. That's what those soldiers are fighting for us to do, peacefully. And he asked a military veteran, what should I do? Because at first he sat down and the military veterans advised him to take a knee.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously you can't please everyone. Yeah. You know, some people, and to their credit, I respect the people who don't want to deal with any type of politics, whether it's kneeling for the national anthem or knowing, you know, how bad, you know, Donald Trump's screwing up the country. Like, I mean, whatever it may be, I respect them for that. But the reality is, you know, I mean, if you're going to deal with, you know, the kneeling of the national anthem and all the other problems that come with, you know, the NFL, then you've got to respect the people that have an issue with certain things and use it as a platform.
You know, I wish we had more time. I know it's a throwaway line when you say Donald Trump screwing up the country. That's a conversation, and this is the problem in our world right now. That's a conversation that shouldn't be solved on the radio anyway.
No.
But
even though it's tried to every day.
True. And a lot of times it's sloppy and it's butchered. That's something where if you and I volleyed this back, just knowing, meeting you for 20 minutes, we can have a civil conversation. I can say, yeah, a lot of the things I disagree with, but some things I fully agree with.
Yeah.
And with President Trump. Some things I fully support. I have no problem saying that. But the problem is, it's got to be this broad stroke. He's either the best or he's the devil. And somewhere in between is a fair amount of good and a fair amount of bad, but people don't want to have that conversation.
Well, I think it's about perspective.
They don't want to have that conversation.
But I also think it's about perspective, because, you know, there are certain extreme situations, which I think with Donald Trump, this is an extreme situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing if you have a leak in your house. It's another thing if you have a flood, right? So, you know, I think with some of the things that are going on, just from a humanity perspective, I don't think policy has to do with those things. I think those are separate. And I think those are the issues that most people have with him and the administration. It's the some of the inhumane things that are going on based off of race. And, you know, I'm the type of person, as long as Tiki's know me, I'll call a spade a spade. You know, if someone's wrong, they're wrong. I have nothing to hide. I have no political agenda with anyone. You know, I'm not a politician. I'm not running for office. You know, I have my opinion just like everyone else has their opinion. You know, if you don't like it, then that's, you know,
that's your
issue.
That's
you know?
Your American right.
Yeah, just like if I don't like yours, I mean, it's not going to change anything. We're still going to go on about our day and you know, and carry on and do what we were going to do. But I definitely think that, you know, because the NFL, you know, has just, you know, the military involved and the flag involved, that, you know, they're going to have to accept all the byproducts of that, because you can't have one without the other. It's impossible.
That's true.
Dude, you guys have known each other forever. Hey, great meeting you, man.
Thanks
for coming to our show, Thomas.
Appreciate you, brother. Cole Miner's son, great runner in the NFL, obviously an actor now, a violent man back in December. Check this out. Most importantly, the all-time leading rusher in University of Virginia
history. well, I literally learned about watching him.
I was expecting that. Yeah. Luke Cage on Netflix, Thomas Q. Jones, great work, great transition.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.